The book of Ephesians, once you get to Ephesians, we're going to be in chapter 4 this morning. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, again, we ask your blessing now upon the remainder of the service. We pray you'd bless the preaching of your word. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts and help us to understand the passage of scripture that you've placed before us this morning. I pray, Father, that you'd help my voice to hold out and that I'd be able to preach the word in a way that hearts would be touched. And so do a wonderful work in our midst this morning. I pray, Father, that you'd speak to every one of us in a very special way. Help us each to grab a hold of something that we can use in our lives in a very practical way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul closes out the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians by saying this: "Show I unto you a more excellent way." And that's exactly what I want to pass along to you this morning in this sermon. And let me begin by asking you a question. If you had to select a scripture passage from the Bible that you consider to be the most important scripture passage in the Bible, I mean as far as for the world to understand, which scripture passage would you select? Well, I would venture to say that a lot of folks would select John 3:16, or maybe that whole section, John 3:16 through 18, and they would be absolutely correct in making that choice. I mean, what scripture passage could be more important than the passage that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but ever have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth not, He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." I mean, that is an important passage of scripture for the world to understand. But if you had to select one passage of scripture from the Bible for God's church to understand, not the people out in the world, but for God's church to understand, I'm talking about a passage of scripture for God's church to help them operate successfully in the eyes of God each day, which passage would you choose? Now, I don't know about you, but I believe I would select the passage that we are about to read in Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to look at the last two verses of this chapter. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, let me tell you why I believe these verses are some of the most important verses of Scripture in our Bible for God's church if they're going to operate successfully. You see, the truth is, you can go into any church where they are not operating successfully in the Lord as a church, And you will see that they are most likely violating the principles that are found in these two verses of Scripture, and especially verse 32. Because verse 32 tells us three things that a church must do in order to be the kind of church that God wants it to be. Now, what we're going to do is this. This week, we're going to look at one of them. Next week, we'll finish the message and look at the other two. Okay? We're going to look at three things that this very powerful verse of Scripture has to say to us as God's church. And first of all, I want you to notice that it says to us as Christians, be ye kind one to another. Now notice, Paul is not addressing sinners here. He's not addressing folks out in the world. He is addressing God's church. And the Word of God says that we're to be kind one to another. And notice, this is not a suggestion. This is not optional. It is a command. Be ye kind. Now, if we had been blessed to live on the earth when the Lord Jesus was walking here on earth, we would have noticed that he was the kindest person we'd ever met. For example, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 that Jesus went about doing good. And if he was living on earth today, I believe he'd do things like he'd make sure that he held the door for the person coming through next. He would you know, stop and help somebody fix their flat tire. He'd help the guy at Lowe's who's struggling by himself to load his building materials in the back of his pickup truck. He'd give money to help someone who had a need. He'd help an elderly person trying to get across a busy street. The Bible says he went about doing good. And not just sometimes, but every day of the week, 365 days a year, he went about doing good. Now, why is that? Why did he always go about doing good? Well, let me suggest to you that it was because of two reasons. First of all, because he was good. Because he was good. Jesus not only talked about love and kindness, but he demonstrated it every day of the week while he was here on the earth. He was intrinsically good. What do I mean by that? I mean that from within him, there was nothing but goodness. He didn't have to work at being good. It was part of who he was. Now, we're not that way. Only as we trust in the power of the Holy Spirit are we good. The truth is, if you catch us on a day when we're not walking close to the Lord, that old nature that we're born with may begin to come out. I'm reminded of the story of the little boy who was standing up in the back seat of the car. And his father told him to sit down. Well, a few minutes later, he looks in the rearview mirror, and there's the little boy standing in the back seat. So the father reaches behind him, like my dad used to do, and gives him a little swat and tells him to sit down. Well, this time he sits down. But with his big poochy lip sticking out about as far as it'll stick out, he says to his dad, "I'm sitting down, but inside of me, I'm still standing up." Well, inside of every one of us, inside of every one of us is this evil nature. And many times, this nature reveals itself in unkindness. Let's face it, every day the devil will put people in our lives that will cause us to get so upset that we just want to slap them. I mean, out of love, of course, and for the glory of God, of course, you know. But we all know people who need a good slapping, and the only reason we don't do it is because we know that they'll slap us back, and they might slap harder than we slap. But every day, the Lord went about doing good. And it was no problem for him because he was good. But again, it doesn't come natural to us. We have to work at it. Someone said life in Christ means we have to live in the world, but we're not to be controlled by the world. We're to allow ourselves to be controlled by Christ and by his Holy Spirit so that we can do good in the world. Which leads to another reason why Jesus went about doing good, and that's because he wanted us to follow his example. I mean, how would we know how to live the Christian life if we didn't have the example of his life? He lived his life being kind to others. Why? So that we will live our life being kind to others. Again, here in Ephesians 4:32, it tells us, be ye kind one to another. And so the question for us this morning as Christians is this, are we kind people? Are we a person who shows kindness to others? And I want you to think about the subject for a moment of kindness, and especially unkindness, because when it comes to unkindness, we really need to look at two aspects, or two places where unkindness is found. First of all, of course, unkindness is found among sinners, among the folks out in the world. There are a lot of unkind people out in the world, and I'm sure you've noticed that. Every day, the newspapers are filled with unkind things that people say and do to each other. And if you took out all the unkindness out of the newspaper, about all you'd have left would be the advertisements. I mean, there's a lot of unkindness out in the world. There's just a lot of people who go through life each day not caring who they hurt. And they leave a trail of unkindness everywhere they go. They make me think of a slimy snail or a slimy slug. You know, they leave this trail of slime behind them wherever they go. Wherever unkind people go, they leave a trail of people hurting behind them. Maybe a hurting spouse or a hurting child or children, a hurting neighbor, a hurting coworker. Wherever they go, they leave a trail of tears behind them. This is something we see in the world of sinners. But sad to say, there's somewhere else where it's found from time to time. And that is, unkindness can sometimes be found among the saints, among God's people. There's no doubt we see a great deal of unkindness among sinners, but we also see a lot of unkindness about people who claim to be saints of God. Now, you can jump right in here and holler amen anytime you want to, because you know this is true as well as I do. There are Christians who will say things and do things, and they don't care who they hurt. They will attack Sunday school teachers or Christian school teachers or youth leaders. They'll attack the choir director, the pastor, the deacons, other church members. They're just mean-spirited, and they don't care who they hurt. I remember when I was a young pastor just starting out at the Baptist Church in Bellingham, a lady started attending our church who was just very mean-spirited, was always finding fault with others, and never could find any fault with herself, but always finding fault with others. As a matter of fact, her own dad, who was not a Christian, her own dad came up to me and he said, "You know what? She's too mean to be in your church. Why don't you just boot her out?" Her own dad told me that. And his estimation of her was exactly correct. It was right on target. And, you know, I eventually had to ask her to leave that church. And the Sunday she left, the very next Sunday, it was like a breath of fresh air had come across our church. And a lot of bitterness and strife and division just stopped when she left. It just, you know, some people are just that way. I've seen people who profess to be saved, who profess to be Christians, who will do everything they can to destroy a church if they can't have things their way. There are just some mean people in some of our churches, and I'm not pointing out anybody in particular in our church this morning, okay? Because I haven't found a lot of meanness around here, you know, but I have talked to some other pastors, and oh my goodness, some of the things that are going on in their churches. I just saw a story just the other day on the internet about a church that had a deacon's meeting, and the deacons ended up fighting with each other, and I mean literally throwing punches at each other in the deacon's meeting. It's crazy. I finally had to stop the deacon's meeting Monday night. No, I'm just kidding. It was a church in Columbia, South Carolina. It wasn't in Pasco, Rhode Island. But I guess my point is, the way some folks live the Christian life, you wouldn't even know that they claim to be Christians. And we all probably know Christians who are unkind, and it's going to surprise a lot of folks if they see them up in heaven. Now, I previously asked you, are you kind? And unfortunately, all across the country, apparently, you'll find people who profess to be saved who are constantly gossiping and lying about others. All over the nation, you'll find people who profess to be saved who are full of all the things that are mentioned in verse 31. Things like bitterness, which is, of course, bad feelings, and wrath, that's hatred towards somebody, and then anger, that's carrying resentment in your heart. Clamor, that's an interesting word. That's someone who's always looking for a fight. Oh, you know, they're just kind of the type of person who's always hollering and blowing up at people. And then evil speaking, that's, of course, saying bad things about other people. And then it also mentions that we should put away malice. Malice, that's wanting bad things to happen to other people. You know, in some churches, you'd swear those were the fruit of the Spirit, but they're not. I mean, those are the things that we're told here to put away from us. Get those things out of our life. The Bible says this is stuff that should not go on among the people of God. And I think that some folks who profess to be saved just need to come out and admit that they don't love God, that they don't love the teaching of God's word, and they don't love God's people. They just need to be honest and fess up and say, I really don't love God, I really don't love his word, and I really don't love his people. You see, they might try and hide behind, you know, their flimsy excuses as to why they treat the people of God the way that they do. But you know what? Their actions speak much louder than their words. Because if they did love God, they would not treat God's people with meanness and malice and unkindness. Because loving God and loving people goes hand in hand. You can't separate those two things. I want you to turn in your Bible. We'll probably come back to Ephesians, so you might want to put a marker or keep your finger there. But look at 1 John chapter 4 for a moment. Now go to the end of the chapter and look at the last two verses of 1 John and chapter 4. It says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Wow, those are some pretty strong words, right? But don't blame me, I'm just the messenger boy. That's God's words, okay? If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Did you see it? Loving God and loving people goes hand in hand. I mean, we all know, I'm sure, Christians who are unkind, but certainly the Bible says that's not the way they should be. The Bible tells us that Jesus went about doing good. So should we. The Apostle Paul emphasizes this over in the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 10, where he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. If you are a believer in Christ, if you're a Christian, if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone as the Savior of your soul, then this passage of Scripture is speaking to you. God's Word says to us as Christians, be ye kind one to another. And by the way, we're to be kind inside of church and outside of church. Let me tell you this. If you're not going to be kind to the person serving you at the restaurant, if you're not going to be kind to the co-workers who are working near you, if you're not going to be kind to the neighbors who live next to you, if you're not going to be kind to the cashier down at Brigido's, if you're not going to be kind to the hairdresser or the barber, if you're not going to be kind to people, please, please, please do not tell them that you go to this church. Because it might make them think that we're like you. And that would not be good. Be ye kind. You see, we never know when it will be the last time that we can show an act of kindness to someone. A few years ago, some construction workers were building a high-rise across the street from a hospital. And as they were working on the third floor, they noticed a little girl standing in the third floor window of the hospital watching them work. Well, she was there every day, and they got to the point where, you know, they would wave at her, and she would wave back. One day, she held up a big poster board that said, "My name is Lisa." And they would kind of send notes back and forth and wave at each other. Well, she was there for quite a long time, and so they figured if she's in the hospital that long, she must really be sick, very sick. And so they figured out what room she was in. And every day, they started sending her little gifts. They would send her a flower, or they'd send her a candy bar, or they'd send her a stuffed animal, or they'd send her a book, or they'd send her a puzzle. But each day, they would send her a little something, and she would hold a big sign up in the window that said, "Thank you," and they'd hold a big sign up that said, "You're welcome." And this went on and on and on. But then one day, there was no little girl in the window. And of course, they all got concerned about what happened and why wasn't she in the window. And later on that day, her parents were in the window with a big sign that said, "Lisa passed away. Thank you for caring. She loved you all." You see, those construction workers were men of kindness. Kindness. See, as a pastor, I've stood at funeral homes when people are expressing great regret, crying and weeping over a casket and confessing, "I was unkind to my spouse," or "I was unkind to my child," or "I was unkind to my parent," or "I was unkind to my brother or my sister," "I was unkind to my friend. And now it's too late to do anything about it." And that sort of stuff is just so very sad. And so let me tell you this. If you're going to be kind to someone, you better do it now. Because you never know when it will be your last chance to be kind to someone. God wants his church to operate every day with kindness. And I'll tell you this, every church in America would be a great place to go if Christians would simply practice this one little verse of scripture that starts out by saying, "Be ye kind one to another." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning, and I trust that these things have been a challenge to our hearts. Lord, help us to be people of kindness. Those of us who know you as our Savior and Lord, we put our faith and our trust.